We're glad the boys have come. It's a joy to be able to baptize new followers, new believers in Jesus Christ. And so with that, we're glad to welcome them in as our brethren. And so anyways, Matthew chapter 7, please. We're going to get started here. The sermon tonight is not going to be incredibly lengthy. I will spend a couple weeks on something specifically. Now, we're in the book of Luke usually on Sunday nights. We'll get back to that. Just a few chapters left, so eventually we'll get back to that. But in the meantime, we're going to discuss a few things specifically about the devotional life of a believer. And I get frustrated when I'm told to do something and I don't know how to do it. Anybody get that? I've had that a number of times. One of my biggest struggles for years was walk in the Spirit. And I hear preachers say, walk in the Spirit. I'm like, okay, all right, now, so how do you do it? I'll teach you how. Just do it. I'm like, I don't know what that means. And so I get frustrated until over time I was shown how and looked at the Scripture and be admonished by the Scriptures with that. Another one was, how do you study your Bible? Like, how do you study your Bible? I study a lot of different things. I love history, but with history, most of it's just reading and cross-referencing reading and about the same subject matter. You just kind of immerse yourself in reading. And so anyways, I kind of had a history type approach to studying the Bible, just what things happened. And so anyways, until people are able to show me, all right, this is a way in which you're able to study the Bible. There's multiple ways on that. The biggest thing is the aspect of authority and also consistency. And you'll learn that there's a lot of different things to learn. But anyways, it's helpful. There's different ways in which help us to understand the Bible better. Now, when it comes to prayer, though, we're told to have a prayer life. The Bible makes it very clear that we're supposed to have a healthy prayer life. And with that, we're also told that we're supposed to expect to see prayers answered. And so in the book of James, the Bible tells us some admonitions for why you don't get your prayers answered. The biggest reason number one, is you have not because ye ask not. You have not because you ask not. And so he gives instructions on how to pray. We won't be in that passage tonight for the most part. I'll reference it. But the point in that is that we're supposed to be asking. And so the question is, are you asking? One of the biggest things about a prayer life is that you do need to be asking. You need to be asking. Now, let's look at the passage here in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 7, if you will, please. Now, this is what's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's going through a rather lengthy passage of Scripture, several chapters long. That's one really long sermon. The idea is not necessarily to stood in one place and just taught. It seems to be a kind of a body of teachings in a certain location that was there. And so anyways, with that, you'll find these sermons found in different spots throughout the Gospels. And anyways, this one, he's covering a subject matter in regards to prayer. And so if you will, look down at verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts. And by the way, you see how Jesus threw that in there, as far as, like, by the way, you guys are evil people, and yet you still provide good things for those that you love. So if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And so there's two elements that we'll find in this passage of Scripture that addresses not just that idea of prayer, but also that prayer is accompanied with a certain type of behavior. And you'll see that with that section. Verse number 7, verse number 12, all of it goes together. Now, he's covering different topics, four main topics really in this, five main topics in this chapter. But in this, he's addressing this aspect of prayer. Now, you notice in this, he doesn't use the word much in regards to prayer throughout this sermon. In fact, in this section, he frequently uses this word asking. All right, so I appreciate it, Sam. Thank you for helping out with that. All right, now, knowing that's the case, we understand that we ought to be praying. So one of the frustrations we get is, then how do we do it? Now, with this, we will look at a couple different passages of Scriptures. I would remind you that Jesus does give instruction when they ask him, how do we pray? And so he tells them. When he tells them specifically how to pray, he tells them to pray and to pray after this manner: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, going through that list, he tells us specifically how to do it. So one of the things that happens for us is we look for an equation. Now, we talked about this a number of months ago. I want to say maybe 6 months ago or so. I think somewhere early part of the or late part of the winter or something like that. But on this, I want you to catch one big idea, and that's this, that when it comes to prayer, you ought to be asking. Notice in this passage of Scripture, what's the first word in verse number 7 when he addresses this idea of prayer? Ask, ask. Now, I believe the Scripture makes it very clear that we ought to be a people of praise. This morning, we talked about that with the book of Acts, chapter 4. Their prayer was first off with praise. They identified who God is, what God does, why God does it, the fact that he is doing certain things that they can call on him. And so they praised God for all that he does, all that he is. Now, knowing that to be true, one of the things that we're reminded of is that we ought to be praising, but praise is not prayer. Now, it's directed towards God, it's conversation, but the word prayer is specifically addressing the idea of asking. Now, we correlate it together frequently. In fact, in some scriptures, you can even talk about prayers. Then it will include a praise section in there. But the prayer itself is addressing the idea of asking things. And so we use the terminology about to go ask somebody for something. One of the things that we'll do frequently with the kids is we'll have them ask the other parents. All right? So there's only two parents in my household, and that's me and my wife. And with it, the kids will ask, like, why can't you just give me an answer? Well, because that's mommy's jurisdiction. And it's not that I don't have authority, but I've asked mommy to rule this portion of the house, and I'm wanting to make sure I'm not messing up the plan. And the way it works in our house structure is that I am the authority of our home. My wife is the authority of the home under me. And so anyways, with that, like a good manager, you allow the managers that work for you to manage, all right? So that with that, she has a management role. So they'll ask, hey, can I have, well, they don't say hey, but they ask, can I have whatever maybe a candy, ice cream? You know, they're never like, hey, can I have a piece of celery? It's always something else, right? Now, with those things they ask, and I'll ask the question, ask your mommy. Now, the reason I ask them to ask mommy is because mommy knows what the meal plan is, and I don't know. Maybe we're about to eat in 5 minutes. Maybe we're about to eat in 2 hours. Maybe celery was part, part of the dinner plan, and I don't want to take that away before we get there. And so we're trying to keep the plan, but I just go ask. Now, with that, they don't go to my wife and start telling her about how wonderful that she is. If they do that, they're doing that only to try to convince her to answer the prayer, right? Mommy, you're wonderful. I cannot tell you how beautiful you are. The way your hair flows in the wind and shines, the beautiful smile. So would you please allow me a chocolate bar? You see, those things don't combine. And so, by the way, it is disingenuous if you're doing so, you're praising for the purpose of getting. And so here's the thing. When it comes to praise and prayer, let me encourage you to separate those ideas. We don't praise God so we can somehow manipulate God into giving us what we want. In this passage of Scripture here, what he's done, he said, ask, ask. And so when we're talking about asking, there is an aspect that we should be asking. And when we consider the promises of God in prayer, it's that God will answer our requests of asking. If we're not asking, then we're not getting. You have not because ye ask not. And we're hoping that somehow we've buttered up God enough, which, by the way, is wrong. You cannot do that. Where now he is now convinced, you know what? He really made me feel good about myself. And the way that he worded those things and the big words that he used. Guys, congratulations. Good to see you guys. I'm so glad you're here. But anyways, we're not going to puff up the ego of God enough where God's going to finally say, you know what? Now I really want to bless that guy. That's not God. We do that in false religions, don't we? For instance, you may offer something to a god, and you make that offering hoping that that god will answer you with some kind of sacrifice, some kind of answer, like rain. They do that in different places where you hope if you submit your prayer on paper in a certain thing, then God would hear it because it's been done in a certain way that gave him praise, or you spun the wheel enough, or you rubbed the belly, or because you said the name sufficiently, and then you will have impressed God. That's not what he's doing. When we consider what he tells us back in chapter number 6, he tells us back in verse number 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye our Father. Now, the word pray ye, he's saying we can use the word ask. That's what the word prayer means. So pray ye, ask ye. All right, I'm not correcting the Bible here, but this is literally what that word prayer is meaning. So pray you, ask ye our Father. In other words, direct conversation with our Father. This is an intimate conversation with our Father. And then here comes the question, and he gives a whole list. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When we think about hallowed be thy name, we have to remember even that is not just a, wow, you're wonderful. But literally it's a prayer that his name would be hallowed. In fact, I went through this, so I won't re-preach all of this as we did earlier in the year. It took 6 weeks, 7 weeks, I think, to preach that Lord's Prayer. But hallowed be thy name is a prayer. In fact, it's one of the seven things that are asked for in that prayer. When we find out why he asks it is because in other passages, for instance, in the book of Luke, there's the request specifically, teach us how to pray. And so they want to know, give us that instruction. But what are they saying? Teach us how to praise better? No. We're asking Jesus to teach us how to pray, how to ask better. And so first off, remember that you're supposed to be asking. And number two, realize that the asking is rewarded with giving. All right, so if you're supposed to be asking, when it comes to your prayer life, realize you are supposed to be receiving as well. You're supposed to be given the things you ask for. Now, there's a few mildly complicated matters in this one. We have to ask the question, what kind of prayers are going to be heard? Does God answer all prayers that are offered up to him? There's a lot of bad prayers out there. There's that lotto that went up, I think it was last year, for like $1 billion. That's a lot of money. You know, I'm going to guess that there was a lot of people that were praying that they can get that $1 billion. I'm just going to guess. Maybe nobody did, but I'm going to guess they did. Why? Because they wanted it. You ask for things that you want, right? And so as we're looking at prayer, we have to remember, yes, we should be asking, but there is an expectation of giving, which means that giving needs to be lined up with the will of God. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But if we are asking, do you believe God will give it? Sometimes we treat it as if it was that $1 billion jackpot, that if you pray enough, hopefully you'll win not just the lotto, but the lotto of God's prayers. God's answers that, all right, you have been selected. You did it the right way, and randomly he has picked you. So not only will I answer your prayer, that means you're also getting this $1 billion in the lottery. Now, that's unfortunately a very cheap method of prayer. And so with this, the instruction then is that we need to remember prayer is for receiving. Now, we talked about this at the prayer meetings 2 weeks ago, but I want to remind you that when it comes to prayer, the goal is not prayer. That's not the goal. Now, when we talk about our communion with God and our prayers, plural, and we would address ideas of praise and thanksgiving and prayers and supplications and requests, put them all together in this big umbrella of prayer, then sure, there is that aspect of communion. Very true. But when it comes to the asking, the reason we're asking God is for God to supply. Which means this, you should be very serious about what you're asking. If you're praying, if you're asking God, are you considering what you're asking? And so when we're going to God and we're spending that time, or we're on our knees, or we're standing there, or we're driving, we're sitting there, whatever it may be, you're spending time with God, are you asking God with the anticipation that he's going to give? If we could put it this way, if you have anticipation for him to give, what's he going to give you according to your prayer? And by the way, you might say, well, that's pretty simple. You know what I'm praying for. But I want you to think about some of your prayer lives. Some of y'all will, and I've done this, is that you will simply announce names to God. For instance, this is an example. You would address the Father, and you say, please, I pray for John. And I pray for Derek. And I pray for Lily. And I pray for Pastor. Okay, what? Does that make any sense? I think God knows those names, right? But that's a lot of prayer times. In fact, we'll go through prayer lists and we're like name one after another, and you're just like, hey, God, look, I can read. Well, good for you, but here's the thing. You've not to ask for anything, right? So there is the necessity of praying. You're not simply making announcements to God. So what are you asking for? And now the other thing is, if you're asking with the expectation of receiving, then your prayers ought to be asking for some things that are more specific. Here's the most common prayer that I hear most frequently. It's, dear God, pray for Pastor. Please be with him. Okay. Listen, I'm for that. I know that's a promise of God, but what about him being with me? Like for what purpose and what reason? Sometimes we would ask things in regards to our health. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we'll talk about health requests and stuff like that in just a moment when we get into some of the details of how we would do this. but we need to be asking. Now, there's going to be a couple things to make mention of specifically when it comes to the idea of asking. Three things specifically when it comes to this. Number one, of course, is to be asking. Number two is to be seeking. If you'll notice in verse number 7 again, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find. Now, the idea of seeking is that when we ask for something, there is a continued state of pursuing. And so it's such that when we're talking to God, we are asking God, but we are pursuing God for these things. We're looking. So if you're seeking something, it's not just enough. We're like, we can't find it. We've been through those situations where we'll ask our spouse, honey, do you know where the keys are? And it's typically pretty simple. It's like right where you left them. Yeah, usually, kind of, except I normally find them in my wife's purse. And so I didn't leave them in my wife's purse. I don't touch her purse unless I'm looking for the keys. But anyways, the idea on that is that usually she's going to give me some kind of suggestion. But every now and then, I'll look for something besides my keys or my wallet. And looking for that, I'll ask her the question, where is such and such thing? And if she doesn't know, she'll ask me a simple question, did you look for it? Well, I asked you, and I hope that you knew where it was at, so I don't have to look for it. And so hopefully, then it will arrive by my request. Now, here's the thing. If I really want that, I will pursue it. Why? Because when I ask, I don't have it yet. Yesterday, there was a little spot. We were cleaning up some stuff on our bed and just around the room, cleaning little spots here and there where I'm not sure what it was, but I think somebody took a red popsicle into our bedroom. I'm pretty sure because down on the tail end of the bed, there was like this line where you could tell like a beautiful bright pink and like orange was there. It looked kind of sugary. And the dog wanted to lick it. And so anyways, the point is that with that, okay, we got to clean this up. We got to get this cleaned up. So we need something. We need some fabric cleaner. We need some Resolve. Now, I know generally there's one place it usually is, and then there's two other possibilities. After I looked at the first place, I asked, and I said, where is it? She said, well, it's going to be there. And so now I was able to find it. Well, when I went down there, I couldn't find it at first. And so I had to seek it until I got it. Now, here's the deal. When it comes to prayer, we ask, and then we seek. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, that seems really pretty simple. What does this mean? You don't quit. You don't give up. The concept on this is that there is a second step in which we're looking around for the answer from God specifically. You want God to answer. This doesn't mean now that you seek by your own power. Literally, the concept is that by your asking, you would continue then to seek of God that He would provide. This would mean that there's a further dependence on God. Sometimes we're very surface level in how much we trust in God. We ask God by means of announcement. God gives service. I hope this offering's good. Bless this food to our bodies. Surface level. And so we'll ask and listen, should we trust in God for all those things? Absolutely. Absolutely. But to seek Him, we're desiring something. For instance, Jesus, in a similar context, going throughout the Sermon on the Mount, He talks about those that would seek after God. You realize if you seek and if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, right? God's going to provide. This is something that He's doing, that He's allowing you to want these things. What this means, by the way, when it comes to seeking, that means you don't currently have. There are things in your life, there are lacks. For instance, last Sunday, Brother Bobby preached about lack, the lack of love that we have. And we discover things. God, I'm not very good at this love thing as I should be. I am lacking. So God, would you then supply my lack? And by the way, once you identify that lack, you suddenly, you got it? Whew, I identified it. There it is, mission accomplished. No, we ask God and we continue to seek it because there's more, there's a depth in that relationship that God has for you. Now, number three. So you could, by the way, probably find it here in verse number 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Seeking answers to our prayer leads to the third step in getting our prayers answered, knocking. By the way, when we knock at a door, we go door to door a lot. And this past Friday went out and a guy came out, was that you banging on my door? Now, if you had gone with us, Brother Bobby was knocking on doors and his knock was something like this. That's it. Who's banging on our doors? Nobody. That was knocking. And by the way, it worked. He heard it. That's what we want. The goal was that he would come to the door. Now, what happened afterwards, we weren't seeking. But the point is, we wanted him to come out there and hear us. We were knocking for him to come to the door. When it comes to knocking, as we seek for the ways in which God might answer our prayer requests, we step out in faith and we knock on the doors that are available. Here's what we're doing. We're pursuing. What we're doing is we are searching and we are testing. Now, I want you to notice, if you're in a room and let's say all the lights went out in a room that you've not been in, you need a way out. God, we need deliverance. As now we are pursuing, God, that deliverance, we're going to try to find that door. But now we find a number of doors, and we're seeking God. We need to know which way. Thank you. You've guided us to this. Now we need the way out of the doors. God, we're knocking. Which door will open? And so we're seeking that out, but it's all in full reliance. So it's tying in a couple things. One is that aspect of asking while we are pursuing a life of reliance, we're trusting in Him. So we're talking about living that life where we're depending on Him. Now, to explain this further, look down to verse number 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Here's what he's talking about. There's a way in which we live Christian lives that are by the power of God, and specifically they're fueled by prayer. Now, what this means here, he's not just talking about you need to pray so you get stuff. He's literally talking about living for Jesus. He's talking about those things. And listen, we should be praying for a lot of things. We're going to talk about a prayer list in just a moment. But we're talking about living for Him in that context that God wants to provide those good things, kind of like how you would want to provide for your children. I love providing for my children. I'm thankful to be able to do things for them. They'll ask for things. Occasionally, my wife will do something with the kids. What do you think you're getting for your birthday? Do we have to give them anything for their birthday? Absolutely not. Do you realize there's no biblical requirement that you have to give your children birthday gifts? Zero. None. But we like to. We like to. The other day, my kids got gifts, and they said, so what's this for? Is it my birthday? That's what Leah was asking. Is it my birthday? I'm like, no, you just had your birthday a month ago. And so is it, or a month and a half ago, and is this going to be for Christmas? Like, we get it like ahead of time for Christmas? No. Your grandma got it for you because she loves you. That's it. My mom likes to give things to my son because she loves him. I like to give things to my kids because I love them. And so knowing that's the case, God says, I want to provide for you. Now, what he's addressing, though, and we're already thinking automatically, God, we need the provision of stuff. And according to this, the provision here is the good things that he wants to provide through you. These are needs that are met. These are ways in which you minister, and you're ministered to by the effective power of prayer. And so, ask, seek, knock, and keep going. Keep going. So what that means is you're going, having asked Him, you go forward knowing that God is going to provide. Having sought after, you understand that God is going to provide that direction, that wisdom. The knocking is allowing opportunity. And so these pursued opportunities allow you great privilege. Now, in that, what God wants you to do then as well is make sure that your heart is ready for prayer. A couple things in regards to this practically. If you're in Matthew chapter number 7, go back to chapter number 4. And I want you to see what he says. We're going to look at some practical aspects of prayer here. Verse number 4, but he answered and said, it is written. So chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So when we look at scriptures, I want you to consider spending time with God via the scriptures daily. One of the things that I can be guilty of, and I'm going to assume that many others can be guilty of, is that I will pray because of the scriptures. I need to know what the scripture says. Would you guide me on these things? But how often do we spend time with God to fuel our prayers? And so we ought to be doing so. He's talking about living in light of God's word and living from that, empowered by it, which means that should also be fueling your prayer life. With that, this allows a couple of things. One, it allows your will to be lined up to His revealed will. There are things that God wants from you. By the way, there are things, for instance, that should be in your prayer life, like praying for lost people to be saved. You know why? Because He said so. You think about the Apostle Paul. Paul talked about his great desire was that his brethren in the flesh, the Jews, would be saved. He wanted them to be saved so they would know the goodness of God. They would know salvation, eternal life. And so he longed for that. Now, knowing that he longed for that, he prayed for it. Why should he pray for that? Because that's God's will. How about your neighbors? Do you long for that? How about your friends? How about your family members? We know it's God's will that you pray for them because he has said that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you see that? Now you have a prayer request. When you see any aspects of the will of God revealed in the scriptures, that gives you a prayer list. It gives you things to pray about. For instance, in the Lord's Prayer in chapter number 6, when he says, verse number 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He's talking about certain things. God, we want your will to be done. Jesus himself, when he cried, or getting ready for the crucifixion, we understand with him, the Bible describes his sweat drops of blood, right? So with what he went through, he makes this prayer about this cup passing from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. God, your will be done. Now, here's the thing. He knew the will of God. It was written in Scripture. Those were the words of God, Christ himself, given within the Scriptures. He knows what the will of God is. And there's going to be times where there's a drawing for different things to be done, temptation to be present. And here's what needs to happen. You need to line up your will to God's will. You line them up. In your lining up, you pray specifically for that. And here's what the Bible instructs us, that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he did so by the power of the Holy Spirit, which also resurrected him. Understanding that, he was led of prayer. He prayed, and he's Jesus. He sets an example for us that we should be praying the will of God. And so allow yourself to make sure you're spending time, quality time with Christ daily in his word. Now, here's what this means. When you're having your devotion times, as far as the word of God and prayer, are going hand in hand. Don't make time where you're looking at the word of God simply academic. I need to learn a bunch of stuff. And then prayer time, you're going to tell God a bunch of stuff. Because that's really what it is, isn't it? Prayer is you talking to God, and we understand the word of God is God talking to you. And so you have this thing, and now we separate them as two different ideas. And imagine if your relationship with absolutely anybody in this world was like that. It'd be kind of like a boss-employee relationship. That's okay that you don't have a close relationship with your boss. He's going to tell you to do things, and you're going to tell him what he needs to know. And that's kind of how we treat God. Except God has already told you how this is supposed to work. Our Father. You're talking about spending quality time with your Father and allow this to be there together. When you open up your scriptures in the morning, and I do encourage you to do so in the morning, but perhaps it's another time of day, you do so in anticipation that you are spending time with God. This is guiding your prayer time. I want that. My wife and I do that, by the way, in the way we would commune with each other. She wants certain things, and so I want those things for her. Why? Because that's her will. And in that relationship, I want that. And over time, we want more of the same things. I used to, and I've talked about this recently, but I used to want to, like, do skydiving and stuff like that. I thought it was pretty cool. One of the coolest things that I have seen is proximity diving. Now, it's foolish. It really is. Like wingsuit diving, that they'll literally jump off mountains, and they have a wingsuit, and they just, like, glide around. One of the issues is that they crash into mountains. Like, that's a problem. Now, to me, any sport that your issue is you're crashing into a mountain, we could say that's a dangerous sport. There was one guy, they said the best wingsuit diver in the whole world hit the tip of a mountaintop. Hit it, broke his legs. And I'm thinking, if your sport is such that you, like, clip the top of a mountain, it's dangerous. And I kind of like that kind of stuff. I watch those videos, like, man, this is the coolest thing ever. But you know what? I know my wife doesn't want that, and I'm willing to not want to do that because my wife doesn't want me to do that, and I can't afford it either. But the other part is that that we're aligning our wills through our communion together. We're doing so. In your conversation with God, you're aligning your will to what God wants. Practically speaking, you should be memorizing Scripture. In Psalm 119, verse 11, the Bible instructs us in regards to the role of the Word of God in the guiding of our steps and the lamp it is to our feet. We ought to be regarding the Scriptures in regards to how important they are in everything we're doing, including guiding your prayers. In Psalm 1, the Bible tells us in regards to our relationship with Him that, I'll read it real quick here. Psalm 1, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. So you'll notice this. When it comes to communication with God, there is a constant amount of scriptures in your conversation with him. When you talk to other people, do you disregard everything they say? And you just kind of like just give out a bunch of information about yourself? Maybe. And if you do that, you're going to have issues with your relationships, by the way, right? Because if all you do is talk about you and what you want, not everybody's going to get along with you very well, all right, or nobody, at least not long term. But when you're doing things like listening and talking based on what's going on, then that relationship is able to build. Now, this is very practical, and we see that in the world, how this works as far as talking with people. And God is saying He wants the relationship. And when you look at the scriptures, there's a constant desire to appeal to the Word of God. Even the preachers throughout the New Testament would frequently focus on the Word of God. They would pray and they would quote scripture. When you look at Acts chapter 4, where we were at this morning and 2 weeks ago, in that they're praying and they're referencing the Psalms. And they're talking about the hatred that people, the world has for God, and they're just bringing it out. Is it because they had to, like, really, let me think about that. Let me type in a word search or a word study so that way I can determine what to pray. No, it's a part of their life constantly, so they can bring it out and they can talk to God. And so, practically, let me finish off with one last thing. Keep a prayer journal. Perhaps it is that you have a very, very good memory. Maybe that's you, and that's fine. But I really admonish you to keep a prayer journal. Now, here's why. It's because we don't have great memories. There's a lot of things to pray for. When I think about my prayer list, there's a certain number of things I pray for my wife. Now, how do you keep a prayer journal? Number one, this is going to be very practical. Get a journal, okay? I said it. Now, here's what this means. Don't get random pieces of paper. Now, this is not Bible, all right? So you might say, well, I'm not going to buy a prayer journal because it's not in the book. That's fine. I understand. This is practical. I'm just telling you this is a practical way to do this. If you get random pieces of paper, I'll show you what happens. This right here, all right? This is my notes from somewhere else I stuck in my Bible because it's very important. It fell out of my Bible. And so I want to reference this. And by the way, I didn't intentionally drop it on the ground. It just dropped on the ground. That happens. Some of y'all have notes, important things you're going to hang on to. It's kind of like your passwords. I know some of y'all have no idea what some of your passwords are, and yet you've wrote them down in a place you're going to remember on a scrap piece of paper and tucked them away in a drawer or in your desk or in your kitchen. You don't have any idea where they're at. Keep a journal. Journals are very practical, all right? You might say, oh, Pastor, I just don't want to buy a journal. Buy a journal. It's helpful. By the way, if you don't keep a journal and you have a terrible prayer life, then don't be like, I'm not going to do it. Just try it. It would be a help to you. So anyways, get a journal. The other thing is have a designated pen or pencil for that journal. The reason for that is I cannot tell you the number of times where I've had a prayer request or something, an update, and I didn't have a pen or paper or pencil like with it, and I've got it with me. A lot of times I'll keep it with me in my car or something, and I don't have any way to update it. And then later on, I can't remember it. Okay, so maybe you have perfect memory and that you don't need that, but that helps me. So we're talking about the tools, right? The other part pray, make a list of prayers. Now, the way I do this is what helps me. You can do this however way you want. If you're just going to have a sheet of paper, if you're going to put it on your computer, if you're just going to remember it, fine. But the way I do so, I start as close to home as possible. Now, I keep a separate prayer list for me, things that I'm praying about for myself. I keep that separate in my prayer journal because mine's very fluid. It changes constantly. So I'm praying for different things, calendar schedules. I'll pray for my calendar as far as what's there, things that are going on, conversations, whatever's going on at the moment. So mine is not as steady. There are set things, though, that I do pray for individuals constantly. For instance, page number one is my wife. I pray for Amra. When I pray for Amra, I have the page and then part of the back page written out as far as the things I'm praying for. And there's a lot of different things for prayer. For instance, I pray for her patience. She needs patience with me. She does. Okay? And so with this, I pray for that. I pray in regards to her job around the home. She does a wonderful job in regards to the home. You know what? She needs prayer for that. Oh, she's a woman. She just knows how to do those things. Listen, you're a man, you fail all the time and stuff. And so with this, make sure you're praying for her to be able to do the things that she's doing. All right, so be prayerful for that. She needs that. So we pray for those things. We pray for her patience. We pray for faith. We pray for temptation, that she doesn't succumb to temptation. There's a lot of things, and one after another going through. So I've got double columned on the front page, and on the back side I've got another set. And so we pray for a lot of those things. The next part, moving out of my circle a little bit, as far as the closest part, is now to my children. And so I'll start praying. Again, they get pages designated to them. When we start with them, I pray for them specifically, and it's not just for the physical needs, although those are important. But we are praying specifically for certain things. For instance, for my boys, for Leo and Lane, I pray for their salvation. That's prayer request number one. The most important thing in the whole world right now in my heart is that they get saved. Lane is probably not going to get saved this year. He's a year and a half. He's, right now I'm just trying to get him to call me Dada. He used to call me Dada, and they kept on correcting him because he would call me and Amara Dada. So he said Mama, and now he says Mama, and he won't call me Dada. So we went back and forth. So we haven't even gotten to, like, how Jesus would save him. Now, that being said, I'm praying for salvation. I pray for Leo's salvation. I love my girls just convicted of it. They memorize the Romans Road, and they open the Bible, and they show him how to be saved. Praise the Lord for that. And with that, Layla, when she had gotten saved, the person that showed her the gospel thoroughly first was her sister. Showed her the gospel, how to be saved. Now with that, all that's to say this, is that that's what we're desiring. We desire spiritual things first, and then we will address other things. This is a list. The reason I do keep a full page, what I used to do, I'd put the name and then a few prayer requests beside it. But I realized over time that there wasn't space for that, and so I give the full page. Now, with that full page, that allows me space where I can add things or remove things. And so this is a fluid thing. I have a pen or paper available constantly with that. That's able to help out. Now, you go through. I will continue then praying slightly outside the circle. Now, for me, it helps me to pray here and then work out. And what that means is from there, I'm going to outer family. I'm going to our church family. I'm praying for regards to church testimony. I am praying for government. In other words, you just keep going out further and further and further. We're praying for the neighborhood. That's actually been a big prayer request lately, is to pray for this neighborhood. Boy, this neighborhood doesn't like the gospel. I'm not saying like a bunch of the world just absolutely loves it, but I am saying like lately we've shared the gospel a lot. There's probably been 30, 40 gospel presentations and one person saved. And so that's very unusual. So we're praying for this. And it's interesting, of everywhere in Indianapolis, the area that's turned us down the most is right here, right in this. This would be where we're shining brightest, right? This spot, and this is what we want. So you know what needs to happen? Prayer. We need to pray about it. And so with this, make sure you continue praying and you start building that way out that way. Now with this, there's not a single one of my prayer requests that is just a title. All right, so when it comes to you, you might say, well, sorry, how do you pray for me? Seth. Hannah, Matt, done. I said the names to God. That's not prayer. What was I asking for? Nothing. It was just an announcement. So I'm praying this specifically. Now, with that, we are praying in regards to elements of revival where there are works in you guys. I'm not going to tell you all the things I'm praying specifically for you guys. But what this means is I am praying specifically for elements of your growth. We want that. One of the things that we want you to do is we want you to be as a father would in 1 John, as one that knows the Father. Now, the new believer knows the Father. Then there's that zealousness that grows in the young man, but they come back to this knowing of God, this relationship with God. That is a sign of a mature Christian. That's what I want. That's what I want for you guys, to have that growth. There's aspects in regards to what you do. There's family things that come up, and so we're praying for you. Now, the other thing is, I don't pray for every single person every day. There's a lot of people. We had a birthday list. In fact, we still have it in our house, and over time, we continue adding to it. It used to fit. And now it's like going down behind the cabinets and like going in there. And so if you're at the end of the month, it's probably where you're missing your birthday because you're stuck behind the cabinet. We can't see where your birthday is. And so with it, because it's all in order, and so we have like a little ring that holds each birthday. But anyways, with that, it's one of those things that allows us to keep it in mind. But that also means our prayer list is growing. On top of that, I have nieces and nephews that continue to be born. And so that family part is growing. We were able to add Lane. That took up two more pages in my notebook. And so knowing what the prayer requests are, there are many things to be praying for. But let me encourage you, keep a prayer list. Keep a prayer journal. That's very helpful. By the way, one of the reasons I keep a journal is because papers get lost. And so a journal is able to keep it all together. I made a mistake. I don't know if it was a mistake. I think it was a good thing. But we bought journals for the church a couple years ago to do this. And the perforated pages started becoming a problem. And so every time I'd go back and forth, my pages started tearing out. So I started losing prayer pages. And so I'll probably eventually come up with a good system. Right now, I do like Moleskin notebooks. They're a little expensive, but the pages stay in there better. And so that's been helpful to me. And so anyways, that's something that's very, very helpful. Now, knowing that, what do we pray for in those things? Let me encourage you to make an emphasis on spiritual things. When it comes to what we're doing, number one goal is the glory of God. Now, this in all things. Matt said it a number of times. This is the theme song for our church. To God be the glory. Now, is it officially the theme song? No. But that's the chief end of man, right? We're supposed to please God. We're supposed to give him glory. That's why we're saved, to glorify the Father. Now, knowing that's the case, we are praying for that, which means this, that there's the life of every individual you're praying for, that you have an opportunity to pray for them that they glorify God. That's a blanket prayer. But the question is how? Pray for those specific things. How? Now, for instance, look really quickly, just for the sake of time. Let's go to one of these. 3 John. Go to 3 John, please. In 3 John, starting off towards the beginning of the one chapter that's there, first epistle, second epistle, 3 John. All right. So we know that John is going to write to the elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Notice what his prayer request is here in verse number 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, to me, that sounds like two things, doesn't it? Prosperity and health. What's another word for prosperity? Starts with a W. Wealth. Health and wealth. Whoa, I didn't know John was a health and wealth preacher. But he's praying for health and wealth. Why is that? We just want you to be rich, increased with goods. I mean, I know what my buddy Timothy says, you know, about those that would be rich after this world. But, you know, hey, I'm your pastor. I want you to be healthy and wealthy and wise. Okay, now, in that, though, look at verse number 3. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. So we know something. This guy loves God. He knows the Bible. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. More than likely what that means is that John probably led Gaius to the Lord. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou dost to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Now here's what he's telling them, that when it comes to Gaius, Gaius takes care of the needs of other Christians. So is it, hey, we just want you to be rich. I just really want that. No, you take care of people and I want you to prosper. Could we see a reason for why the prosperity would be there? Oh, just because, you know, I know that you've really been looking for that marble entrance and the gold lining. I know that's really been, no, you take care of God's people and I want you to have the provision to continue to do so. He's praying, this is whole thing about a prayer for their continue, and there's a reason for this. There's a spiritual reason for why they're doing this, to pray for that purpose. Why are we praying for people's health, by the way? Just because I know how annoying it could be to be unhealthy. No, there's a reason for that. We understand the book of 1 Corinthians and Colossians, other passages that tell us that these are for the purpose of bringing God the glory. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. All of it should be done for God's glory. And so we want that. We can pray for the glory of God, that we're able to have a provision. The book of Philippians describes that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. That's a promise of God which becomes our prayer request. Remember that. And so that we pray that request for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we pray in that way. So your prayers should be guided then to fulfill the will of God. And as you look through scriptures, here's what happens. You begin to testify of what God has done in you, and you're being witness of that. You then want that to be done in others. And you're going through this, and I want you to think about it. When you go through and see those promises of scriptures, then you ought to desire that to be done in the life of other people, hence aligning your will with the will of God. And God answers those requests. Now, there's a lot of other things that we can go on in regards to your walk with God. You need to be walking with God. If you're like, I'm going to just regard sin in my heart, and God's going to say, I don't listen to you. I'm not going to grant you those requests because you're regarding sin in your heart. And so there's limitations, and we won't go through all those. But let me encourage you. The biggest thing here is be asking, be seeking, be knocking. Keep that prayer list. Keep up with that, and you'll be amazed the frequency in which you're praying to God, seeking and desiring him of those things, that God's going to do something special there. And so we will seek him for that. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for what you've provided here and just the admonition here to pray. God, what an amazing thing that with our will and your will, God, that those work together, that you would allow us then to have our prayers answered. God, I thank you for that. Lord, we're asking that you would continue to provide for us and for our church to be what you want us to be. People of prayer. Lord, I want this church not just to be praying in meetings, but to be praying always. Pray without ceasing. Pray about all things. Wherever we're at, that we are a people of prayer, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to have...